What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of the Between the Tackles podcast. The NFL offseason is in full swing. We are now, check it, approximately 6 weeks from training camp opening up. I personally can't wait. But in the meantime, we got you covered everywhere. Get us on X, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube at Tackles Pod, Between the Tackles on Facebook. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're everywhere you can get your podcast, courtesy of the Believe Network. Give us a comment, give us a subscribe, a 5-star review. All of it goes a great way to helping us continue to grow our platform here at Between the Tackles. And we love interacting with all of you, you know, speaking on what we have to say. So let's, without further ado, let's get into it. I'm here with my pal Manish. It's a summer June day. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, Burge. And if, for those who are watching on YouTube, I'm wearing my summer salmon t-shirt, personal favorite of mine. And if you're not watching on YouTube, you're really missing out.
I could never pull off the salmon color. I tried when I was in high school. It didn't work. It's just not me. I can't do it. But let's get right into it here. The big story around the NFL this week is Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby, mutually parting ways with the university and subsequently declaring for the NFL supplemental draft. Now, I won't sit here and claim to be an expert on the supplemental draft. I honestly can't tell you the last time it happened, and I don't remember when it happened. I did some research before we came on the recording today. I think it was 2023 was the last supplemental draft, and I honestly don't remember it occurring. So it seems like it's a non-issue. But this year, with such a prominent name prospect and the controversy surrounding Brendan Sorsby, it seems like it's going to be a thing this year. Manish, can you give our listeners here a brief overview of the supplemental draft, and including myself, because clearly I'm ignorant on the subject?
Sure. Well, first, Brendan Sorsby has to apply for the supplemental draft just because he withdrew his name from consideration playing in the NCAA by essentially withdrawing his lawsuit against the NCAA. That doesn't mean he automatically becomes eligible for the draft. He has to apply. So theoretically, the NFL could reject his application. Now, I would not anticipate that happening. I think the bigger question, before we get into the details of how the draft actually works, the bigger issue for this particular case is whether the Sorsby camp, and that camp, by the way, is led by high-powered attorney Jeffrey Kessler, who, if you know NFL history, has been a thorn in the side for the league for a very long time. You're representing the union during the previous CBA discussions. He's as sharp as they get, and his number one priority right now is to make sure that the NFL does not enact any sort of punishment against Sorsby, because remember, the NCAA suspended Sorsby for the entire season. And in the relatively recent past, and I'm going back 15 years, but in the grand scope of things, it's fairly recent. In 2011, the Raiders drafted Ohio State quarterback Terrell Pryor in the third round of the supplemental draft that year. And the reason that Pryor made himself eligible for the supplemental draft was because the NCAA had suspended him 5 games for this Ohio State scandal involving players selling their memorabilia for cash. And at the time, Roger Goodell essentially mirrored that NCAA suspension. So before Pryor ever played a single game in the NFL, he was suspended 4 or 5 games. And Roger Goodell's rationale, which I think made a fair amount of sense, was that he did not want the league to become a safe haven for players who had been disciplined by the NCAA after they admitted wrongdoing. And that's the pertinent point here. Brendan Sorsby has admitted to gambling on football games, specifically his team. So that, there's no gray area there. The question becomes how Jeffrey Kessler can navigate that so that Sorsby, after becoming a member of the NFL, and he will be drafted in the supplemental draft, when that happens, how does he avoid any type of suspension from the league? So I'm sure there's a lot of legal technicalities. You know, there's recent word coming out in the last day or so about Kayshon Booty. Now, I don't think Kayshon Booty's situation is applicable because Booty admitted to gambling after he was already in the NFL. I think he made almost 9,000 bets, which is incredible, and a handful of bets on LSU, you know, his team at the time. But there was no NCAA suspension or sanction because they were unaware of it. So I'm not sure the Kessler camp can use that argument, but I'm sure they'll try among other, you know, other tactics. But that's essentially, from Sorsby's perspective, he's got to first apply for the supplemental draft. The NFL has to accept that application, which I would anticipate that they would. That next step about whether there'll be an initial suspension remains up in the air. And I know there's a lot of questions about what the actual supplemental draft is. You're right, Burge. The last NFL supplemental draft was in 2023. There was no actual player drafted in that supplemental draft. The last time a player was drafted was in 2019. So it's been largely irrelevant for a half a decade or so. And clearly that will change this year. And, you know, the thought among the average fan is that, well, they'll just go by the 2026 draft order. So the Raiders would have the first pick. And that's not how it works in the supplemental draft. The NFL essentially breaks up the 32 teams into three different buckets. The first bucket is non-playoff teams who had six or fewer wins. So the Raiders would be in that group. Obviously, the Jets, the Cardinals, teams like that would be in that group. The second group are non-playoff teams that had more than six wins. So if you finished at 9-8, 8-9, you go into that second bucket. And then the final group, all the playoff teams. And there's a weighted lottery, much like the NBA. Now, I don't know exactly how each team is weighted, but the Raiders, for example, would have a much greater chance of getting the number one pick in the supplemental draft than the New England Patriots or the Seattle Seahawks. So there is a weighted lottery, and the teams are divided into three distinct buckets, and each bucket is weighted equally. And that's how the order is determined. The draft will be at some point in July. I don't believe there's a definitive date at this point, but that's essentially how the structure is set up. And if you are the team that ultimately gets Brendan Sorsby, if you put in a bid for a second round pick, you would lose that second round pick in the 2027 draft. So hopefully that's clear. So again, we don't know who's going to have the number one pick. We don't know what teams would be interested in taking Sorsby. In the past, specifically in the 80s and 90s, it was a relatively impactful event. I'm not saying, you know, 50 guys came out of that draft making some sort of real dent into the league. But in the 80s, Bernie Kosar was drafted by the Cleveland Browns. He became their franchise quarterback. Also in the 80s, Chris Carter, who had dealt with off-field issues at Ohio State, was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. He obviously did not hit his stride until he was a Minnesota Viking, but clearly a highly impactful, you know, Hall of Fame caliber player. And then in the last 15 or so years, Josh Gordon, who was a dynamite player for a very short amount of time. Now, he ran into some demons that had challenged him before he came to the NFL, and his career flamed out. But for a very short time, he was a dynamic presence as well. So when you have a player like Sorsby, who by some teams would have been a top half of the first round pick if he came out in 2027, if none of the off-field issues and the gambling addiction were a reality, this makes for a very intriguing supplemental draft. And you know, I'm fascinated by A, what teams are actually going to put bids in it for him, and B, perhaps most importantly, who will ultimately get him.
So yeah, real quick, you mentioned that teams bid on these players. So it's not like your traditional NFL draft, right? You're not going through each team and making a selection. Basically, the first bucket gets to make a decision, and say it's the Raiders and they have the first pick, they decide they want to stake a third round pick in the 2027 draft to make the selection. But then the Jets are second in the bidding; they get to select. Oh, we want to throw a second round pick in. Is that kind of how it works? Is it like a bid system like that?
I believe it's like that, where you really, I don't want to say take a chance, but you're really being calculated in terms of how you value a particular player in the supplemental draft. And I think in the past, at least, we would get updates that he was, this player, player X, was not taken with a first round pick. So essentially no team put a first round bid in on that player, and then so on and so forth.
So let's just say the Patriots are involved in this and that playoff bucket, right? And you have the Raiders in the first bucket, and the Raiders don't stake a first round pick, but they stake a second round pick, right? And then the Patriots at the end of the at the end of it say, "Oh, we're going to throw a first round pick at him." The Patriots end up with the player.
The
correct?
Patriots would get him, yes, and, okay. But they would have to forfeit their 2027.
Right?
First round
okay.
Pick.
All right. I'm understanding this process a little bit more now, where it's more of a bid system that versus a traditional type draft. And for me, that with a player of Sorsby's caliber going into this, it's surely going to be fascinating to see, you know, where this goes. I mean, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, team needs over the course of the offseason here, about looking ahead for some of these teams that were, you know, kind of bottom of the league last year that might be in the market for a quarterback. And there's some very, very intriguing spots where if NFL allows the application, allows Sorsby to be eligible for the supplemental draft, that he's going to get selected and that one of these teams is going to end up with him. And I want to kind of just go through, we kind of have a top five list here on, you know, which teams would make the most sense to take Brandon Sorsby here in the supplemental draft. And I'm just going to start off, we'll start off at number five here. And for me, it's the New York Jets. And I have them low on this list just because it's the New York Jets, right? The New York Jets, the loser franchise of the last decade. We'll call it the last, basically all eternity. They got their one Super Bowl. They can't seem to get out of their own way outside of a couple of years in the early 2010s. They've been largely irrelevant in the NFL. But look, they're in dire need of a quarterback. You know, Geno Smith ain't going to be their long-term solution there. He's probably not even going to last the season this year for the Jets. So Sorsby would make a lot of sense for the New York Jets. However, they do have quite a few first round selections in the draft itself. So they're going to have to weigh whether or not they think Sorsby is going to be their guy, or if they would rather roll the dice and not give up a high draft pick in what's touted to be a extremely deep 2027 NFL draft. You know, do they want to go that route or do they want to go Sorsby here? So for me, it's that. And I think real quick, Manish, before I throw it to you, I think that the other fascinating element to this is the fact that the 2027 NFL draft is so deep that, frankly, teams could be a little gun shy here to want to part with those high, you know, premium picks in that 2027 draft to kind of hedge it on a guy who's had off the field issues, clearly may end up being suspended when he comes into the league. So there's just so many fascinating elements that play to this.
I agree, because on the surface, you would think, well, the Jets, they haven't had a franchise quarterback since Joe Namath. You know, with all due respect to Chad Pennington and Mark Sanchez, and when they did draft a franchise quarterback not so long ago, they wound up trading him to a team.
Another victory lap.
And then, yes, ultimately, Sam Darnold hoisted the Lombardi Trophy for a different team, so they can't really get out of their own way from an organizational standpoint. I think that putting them fifth makes a lot of sense because they're clearly in the mix. But I agree with you. I would not make them the team that should go all in on Brandon Sorsby, push all their chips in the table to the middle of the table, despite not having any real answer on their roster at the quarterback position. I know they're going to give their rookie Cade Klubnik in all likelihood an opportunity in the, you know, last month or so of the season if things don't work out with Geno Smith and things go south, which is, you know, better than a 50-50 proposition, or inevitable depending on your perspective. Here's why it doesn't make sense. They do have three first-round picks in the 2027 draft, their own pick, of course, and then first-round picks from the Colts stemming from the Sauce Gardner trade and the Dallas Cowboys stemming from the Quinnen Williams deal. And as you said, it is a very deep quarterback class. And I don't know, most importantly, if the front office and ownership actually wants to invest a pick in this quarterback specifically because we do not know who the 2027 head coach of the New York Jets will be. If things go well for Aaron Glenn, he will be back. If things don't go well, as essentially most of the NFL believes, I think there's a real chance that the Jets will be looking for a new head coach. And if you are going to bring a young quarterback into the mix, you really do want your head coach for the next 3, 4, 5 years to be a part of that decision-making process. And what good does it really do to have Aaron Glenn and offensive coordinator Frank Reich say, we're all in on Brendan Sorsby, if they're not going to be making the decisions in 5 months? So I think that is a mitigating factor that cannot be ignored with the New York Jets. Now, on the flip side, you could say they've got so many first-round picks. Why not throw up a flyer, a third-round pick, or if you're being a little bit aggressive, even a second-round supplemental pick on Sorsby, because it's not really going to hurt them because they do have all this premium draft capital on day one of the draft. And that is a fair argument to be made. I think when it's all said and done, the Jets will not land Brendan Sorsby. I think they'll be fairly conservative and make a bid for him, but perhaps more likely a fourth or fifth round bid for him, which I don't think will be good enough to land him.
That's fair. I mean, like we said, we got some teams on this list here that are very much going to be in the mix for Brendan Sorsby. Number four, Manish, the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, but I don't know if it's going to happen for one reason, and that reason is Todd Monken, who was just hired. So you know he is going to be the head coach for the next 2, 3, 4 years, unlike the Jets situation. Monken came out and said that he doesn't think that the Browns are in a position to do that. Now, I know he's been waxing poetic about Shador Sanders this summer, and there's been reports that Deshaun Watson looks good as well. That stuff largely is irrelevant to me because I'm not certain that either one of those guys, or even Dylan Gabriel for that matter, is a long-term answer. So I think it makes a lot of sense for the Browns to do that. The way that Monken had explained it several weeks ago was that it's a slippery slope because, as Monken said, Sorsby put himself in this position. And that's one of the things actually I love about Todd Monken. He is really blunt and really honest. And maybe he should couch it a little bit more moving forward, but he's a straight shooter. And clearly he does not want Brendan Sorsby. He actually talked about players in other sports who have been suspended for life for gambling. So clearly he is not sold that a gambling addiction can be fixed simply because a player is now a member of an NFL team. So I don't think that he wants any parts of that. What I thought was fascinating was that their general manager, the day after Monken said all these things, their general manager, Andrew Berry, came out and said, well, we're going to evaluate all the prospects and then ultimately make a decision. So much more diplomatic answer than Monken, who is, as I said before, just a straight shooter. So I would not anticipate that the Browns would make any kind of real investment. Mary Kay Cabot, actually, from Cleveland.com, came out right after the Sorsby news and said and reported, according to sources, that the Browns are unlikely to make a bid. But you never say never. So there is a fair amount of time here before the supplemental draft in July. Maybe things change from a Browns perspective. I think from a pure football perspective, it makes a lot of sense. But it does not seem that their new head coach is inclined to make that move.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, it is a crowded quarterback room, regardless of your opinion on the players. And like you said, what his comments about both Deshaun Watson and Shadur Sanders, although I don't know about Shadur Sanders. I saw the clip of him throwing in practice where the lineman stuck his hand up, and then about 4 seconds later, Shadur Sanders just throws his hand straight in the hand. It's like, okay, dude, like, what are you doing? But yeah, if you're going to have a character, make the decision based on character, Like you said, with listing off other players and other sports who have been banned for life for this type of offense, that goes to your whole culture as a coach, and bringing somebody like that in that completely contradicts that, wouldn't bode well in the long term, I don't think, for Cleveland. So it'll be very interesting to see there. Manish, I'm going to give you the floor on this one again. I know you've been talking a lot, but this is the controversial topic that I actually happen to agree with you on. And it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, we have the Philadelphia Eagles as number three on our list of teams for Brendan Sorsby. And people will say that doesn't make any sense. The Eagles have a Super Bowl MVP quarterback in Jalen Hurts. Why would they even entertain the idea of bringing, you know, this type of baggage, for lack of a better word, into their locker room? I'll give everyone a quick history lesson. And it obviously is from years ago, but the ownership, Jeffrey Lurie, is the same. And the transgression was much different. But the Eagles brought in Mike Vick when they already had Donovan McNabb. Obviously, they didn't draft Mike Vick, but they brought him into their locker room after the dogfighting scandal. And that worked out swimmingly because ultimately the Eagles traded Donovan McNabb in the division, by the way, to the Washington Redskins at the time. And Vick had a nice couple year run as a starting quarterback. So Jeffrey Lurie, I believe, would not be gun shy bringing in Brendan Sorsby. And Howie Roseman's always looking ahead. He's always looking about what can I do to make this team better, not who was involved in helping the team find past success. And clearly Hurts is part of that equation. He's been the starting quarterback for a highly successful team that has won a Super Bowl and gone to another Super Bowl. But there are real questions inside the building about whether Jalen Hurts is the right guy to lead them moving forward. That's why the Eagles have not given Jalen Hurts a contract extension this offseason. That's why they haven't even discussed giving him a contract extension this offseason. It's really a make or break year for Hurts, which on the surface sounds ridiculous given the fact that he has been the quarterback for a winning team for essentially every year he's been the starting quarterback. But when you dive a little bit deeper and ask yourself this question, I think you understand why the Eagles would entertain Brendan Sorsby. And the question is, how good is Jalen Hurts? We know the Eagles are good. We know that Howie Roseman is good at assembling a roster. But how good is Jalen Hurts? This is a guy in his career who has not passed for more than 3,800 yards in a season. I believe his career high is 3,858 yards. This is in a 17-game season. The Vegas over-under for his passing yards for this upcoming season is 3,250. That's an average of 191 yards a game. So clearly an unbiased third party does not truly believe in Jalen Hurts. Also a player in his career who has not thrown for more than 25 touchdowns in a season. A lot of concerns and questions about whether he will flourish in new offensive coordinator Sean Mannion's scheme and system. The reviews are great in the summertime, but again, I don't take much stock in that. Everybody talks glowingly about everybody on every team in May and June. The proof will be in the pudding. And if Jalen Hurts delivers in 2026, he'll be the franchise quarterback moving forward. And what would the Eagles have given up for Sorsby? Probably a third or fourth round pick. I think Howie Roseman can live with that. But I think that the potential reward is massive. You bring in Sorsby, there's no pressure for him to obviously play this season. And then you evaluate how Hurts plays. And if you're happy internally as a coaching staff and a brain trust about how Sorsby is absorbing things and fitting in, then perhaps you don't need to draft a quarterback in the 2027 draft. You've got one in Sorsby who has a head start in the building. Just food for thought. I would not rule out Howie Roseman taking Sorsby in the supplemental draft. Remember, this is a guy who, when they had Jalen Hurts, made a run at Russell Wilson when he was a free agent, made a run at Deshaun Watson when the Texans were trying to trade him. So just because Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback for 2026 does not mean that Howie Roseman is not going to really turn over every rock to see if there's a potential replacement at a relatively cheap cost.
I mean, I don't want to hear from anybody about Jalen Hurts' past success in determining what Howie Roseman is going to do going forward. He's the guy that drafted Jalen Hurts when Carson Wentz was a few years removed from, you know, would have been the MVP of the league had he not got hurt in 2017. So he is no stranger to trying to get ahead of the curve when it comes to finding the next quarterback. And I agree with you 100% that this is a true make or break year for Jalen Hurts. I mean, they just traded away A.J. Brown, and you got all this talent still on offense there. So if he does not perform to expectations, why wouldn't you want to take a risk on a guy as talented as Sorsby if you can live with the, you know, the off the field stuff, the possible suspension? The Eagles are a prime candidate to live with a suspension because they have Jalen Hurts to play quarterback next year. So if Sorsby is suspended for 5 games coming into the season, why would Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles truly care about something like that if they think that this guy could be the next guy? It is definitely not crazy to think that Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles could put their name in and put a bid in for Sorsby here. Frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if we had had them higher on this list, because I think if you're Brendan Sorsby and you're selected by the Philadelphia Eagles, you're ecstatic, right? You're playing with all, you're getting ready to go in with all that talent to try to start your career, really an opportunity to turn your life around and move on from this probably the darkest period of his life at this point. So, I mean, if you're Brendan Sorsby, you got to be happy if the Eagles end up making a bid there. Number two on the list, a quarterback needy team, the Arizona Cardinals. I think there's no surprise that they're included here on this list. They had a very high draft pick in the NFL draft this past year. They're dealing with the Jacoby Brissett fallout. I mean, can't believe I'm saying that. Hold out. Jacoby Brissett at quarterback down there. They did select Carson Beck in the NFL draft this year, but I don't think anybody truly believes at this stage that Carson Beck will be a viable franchise quarterback going in right now. I mean, I've read some good things about him in the offseason, but you read good things about everybody in the offseason and mini camps and mandatory OTAs, all that stuff. So you take that with a grain of salt. Arizona Cardinals can go in and get their franchise quarterback here to pair with their new running back, Jeremiah Love, who they took very high in the draft. They still have Marvin Harrison Jr. there. Be interesting to see what that comes out to. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, I don't see any harm at all whatsoever to throw a bid in here. I mean, I would probably hesitate to throw my first round pick in, given how high it could be, but I would see them doing, you know, a premium, you know, third, possibly a second round pick in the supplemental draft to go and get Sorsby and to be their hopeful franchise quarterback in the future.
I agree. I think extending it beyond the Cardinals, putting a first round bid is really risky. If he were suspended by the NCAA for what Terrell Pryor, for example, was suspended for, then I'd say, sure, you know, the guy sold memorabilia for money, that's fine. But because it's a gambling addiction, that really, I think, is serious enough where you wouldn't want to invest that kind of capital, certainly not if you're the Cardinals, who could have the number one overall pick in the 2027 draft. So I think that's probably off the table, not only for the Cardinals, but probably for every team in the league. I wouldn't anticipate that that would be the winning bid. We also forgot that Gardner Minshew is on the Cardinals. So Brissett, you know, is probably going to have to just come in with his tail between his legs, because the idea of giving him quote-unquote starter money, which is reportedly what he wants, is kind of ludicrous. I thought it was interesting that Marvin Harrison Jr. came out recently and didn't bash Brissett per se, but really did talk about how challenging it is to develop any kind of chemistry with the guy when he's not there. And it'd be one thing, again, if this was Joe Burrow or, you know, an elite quarterback, but it's a career journeyman backup. None of it makes any sense to me. But Mike LaFleur, yeah, would make, I think it would make a lot of sense for him to take a chance on Sorsby. Again, you got to thread the needle, because they're probably going to have early picks in every round because they're not going to be good this year. So what kind of investment do you really want to make in Sorsby? But you know, Cardinals have some history in delving into the supplemental draft. They are actually the last team to draft a player in the supplemental draft. It was 2019. They took a safety, Jalen Thompson, who was a solid starter for many years. The Cowboys just signed him in free agency a few months back. So a quality player. But I think that of all the teams that are bad, quote unquote bad, the Cardinals probably make the most sense.
Couldn't agree more. And like, look, we kind of harped on it with Cleveland. I mean, Mike LaFleur just got hired. So it's going to be there for a few years. makes a lot of sense if they really want to take a risk and see if they can get something out of this kid. Number one team on the list, surprise team, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Really no prospects after Aaron Rodgers leaves. I know they have Will Howard and Drew Aller there, but I don't think anybody thinks that they're going to be like franchise-level quarterbacks. The Steelers are always right there in you know, come the end of the season, vying for a playoff spot. And it's going to be interesting to see because I don't see them, you know, really bottoming out per se to, you know, really get into the top of the NFL draft in 2027. But if you're like me and think Aaron Rodgers is going to be benched by November, why wouldn't you want to throw a bid in for Brendan Sorsby? You could have your next guy of the future and not have to give up a premium first round draft pick to make that happen. The Steelers have been kind of getting by at the quarterback position since Big Ben retired. So this is their opportunity to kind of really get a franchise caliber quarterback. If you can manage the off the field stuff, you can live with the suspension this year again, kind of the same way that, you know, Philadelphia can, because you do have your guy for this year and that's Aaron Rodgers. So you're not really expecting him to come in and play day one. I mean, at this point, I don't think anybody is, but I mean, you're not relying on that. And Aaron Rodgers is a this year solution and that's it. Cause he has come out and basically said that this is going to be his final season. So why would you not want to throw a bid in here to see if you can get this kid? Again, before all of the issues on off the field stuff came out, you were talking about him as the top, one of the top quarterbacks in a deep quarterback class in 2027. So this could be an opportunity for the Steelers to really just right the ship at that position for the foreseeable future, should they be able to manage the off the field stuff.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. They're in a precarious position because, like the Eagles, they're probably not going to get a top five pick. I know you don't believe in the Steelers this season, but even if they really were bad, I still don't know if they'd be in striking distance for one of these, you know, guys who are coveted in the 2027 class. And, you know, there's news this summer that Aaron Rodgers is mentoring Drew Aller, and that could be an added benefit if you bring Sorsby in. Now, provided he's allowed in the team facility, he can learn from Aaron Rodgers because there's no threat there. Sorsby's not going to play this year. Rodgers is gone after this year. So you'd have a nice little resource there. It's an added bonus, but I don't, you know, think that Aller or Will Howard, Mason Rudolph, all those guys in the quarterback room, none of those guys is good enough. I think Mike McCarthy knows that. I think their general manager, Omar Khan, knows that. So they are in a precarious position that, you know, really prompts the question, why wouldn't you take Brendan Sorsby? Because if you're drafting in the middle of the 2027 draft, the middle of the first round, you're probably going to have to give up premium draft capital to get into striking distance. And there's no guarantee that you can even do that. So why not, you know, take advantage, frankly, of what's going on with Sorsby and roll the dice? And again, I don't believe that they're going to put a first-round bid in on him. Second-round bid is aggressive, but if you think that it's a creative way to solve your long-term quarterback solution, then why not give up a second-round pick? Because otherwise, you're just looking at free agency. You're going to make a big play for Baker Mayfield in free agency if he doesn't sign? I mean, who else is available after this season? And as you said, Birch, and they've been going year to year now for a while. Here's an opportunity to get a young quarterback, relatively low cost. Hopefully he doesn't turn out to be like Kenny Pickett and is a better player, because I believe Kenny Pickett was in the 20s in the first round, and that was a mistake, obviously. I just think, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, Cardinals, Jets, Browns. I mean, one of those three teams is going to end up with Brendan Sorsby. I would not be surprised if it's a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, because that would be a shrewd and savvy decision.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, you go to free agency, what are you going to pay Baker Mayfield? I'm not saying he's an old player, but he's not a young player. You're going to have him for a couple of years. And then you're just kicking the can down the road, and, you know, you're staying good enough to not bottom out for a top pick in the NFL draft to get one of the truly coveted quarterback prospects of the given year. Then I talked to some of my friends that are Steelers fans who were sick and tired of the Mike Tomlin 500, 500, 500, 500. Yeah, it's great because you get to see your team win games all the time, but you're constantly a middler. And if you keep going year to year in free agency like that, you're going to constantly be a middler and you're not going to really set yourself up for what the Steelers, you know, frankly did back in 2004 when they drafted Ben Roethlisberger. And now you had 20 years or, you know, whatever it was of franchise quarterback play, constantly contending for, you know, deep playoff runs and Super Bowls. And yeah, if the Steelers want to make a big move, make a savvy move to place an aggressive bid here, I think it would make all the sense in the world and it would not shock me in the least bit.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for them and really for any of these teams that we mentioned and some that we didn't. The cost is relatively low because I think ultimately it'll be a third or fourth round bid that lands Sorsby. And if it doesn't work out, okay, so you've lost a third or fourth round pick. At least you gave yourself an opportunity to develop a really talented young quarterback. And I'm going to be
third and fourth
honest.
Round picks bust out all the time.
Exactly. And we're discussing Arch Manning, Dante Moore, this whole coveted 2027 draft class. Nobody knows who's going to be the best among that group or how many difference-making players there will actually be. Maybe in 5 years we look back and Brendan Sorsby is the best of the bunch. So, not investing a day one pick in it of itself makes this probably worth it for most teams. And I think, teams that have new coaches, specifically Mike McCarthy, we talked about Todd Monken, who evidently isn't interested, but probably should. I think, and Mike LaFleur, these first-year coaches with these teams would really be smart to make an investment in this guy, or at least, put your best foot forward and see whatever happens. Because you're building your team, ideally, if you're Mike McCarthy, you're not building something with a 40-something-year-old Aaron Rodgers. If you're Mike LaFleur, you're not building something with Gardner Minshew or Jacoby Brissett. And if you're Todd Monken, you're not building anything with Deshaun Watson. And I'm sorry, Dion, you're not building anything with Shedeur Sanders either. So when you're identifying teams that could potentially make a play for Sorsby, I really do think first-year coaches make a lot of sense, or somebody who's entrenched and not going anywhere. But I don't think any of those teams, frankly, need quarterbacks. And if you're Howie Roseman, who's kind of a unicorn, he's not going anywhere. And his quarterback situation is very unique because I can't really think of another player at that position like Jalen Hurts, who, is a very polarizing figure. Some people believe he should be the Eagles quarterback for the next decade, and other people, wanted him gone last year. So it'll be an interesting dynamic with Sorsby. It's been an incredibly unusual summer because typically things kind of die down after the draft. And we had the June 1st trades with A.J. Brown and Myles Garrett. And now we've got the supplemental draft resurfacing after 3 or 4 years. So it certainly extends the NFL calendar of interest. And the league absolutely loves that. I can tell you that with all certainty.
We love it too. It's the first offseason where we really truck through all offseason to talk football and we get all this news. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. Unless you got anything else, Manish, take it away.
Yeah, that'll be it. Thanks for listening. And again, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, write a review. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube. We're trying to grow our YouTube channel, so please subscribe and comment. Your feedback helps us figure out what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our content. And it'll help us a long way to growing, evolving, becoming a more enjoyable podcast for everybody. That will be it for this episode. For Birch, I am Manish. We'll see you next time.